Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's welcome aboard Corey Chavis, former NFL defensive back, founder of Draft Nasty as well, and has joined us before and joins us now, scouting combine rearview mirror. Hey, Corey, Taz of the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Corey, what's up?
What's up, man? How you guys doing, man? Good morning.
Good morning. What overall, you know, what did you know? Your biggest storyline coming out of Indy, out of this scouting combine, would be what, Corey?
Well, for me, it was the offensive lineman. I felt like that the athleticism in that group, along with the defensive lineman, was just remarkable. You can tell every year that the athletes continue to get better. But I think this year, the big man took it to another level.
Yeah, no doubt, Corey. I mean, Moose and I were talking before the show, man, like talking about defensively the edge rushers and the D-line group when they went. The amount of just if you're looking at the 40, Tom, I know that doesn't mean just you have a great 40 doesn't mean you're going to be a great football player. We all know that, right? But, dude, it was unbelievable. The size, the amount of, how do I word this? The amount of guys with that amount of size that were all running like under 4.9s or 4.8s was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you think about just the fact of you had a guy, let's just say, for instance, Daylon Mack from Texas A&M, defensive lineman. 336 pounds. Now, you talked about the guys running under 4.9 or 4.8. Right. I mean, this guy's almost 340 pounds. He runs a 5.1. But at the same time, you have a guy like Dexter Lawrence weighing in at 342, and he runs a 5-flat.
Amazing.
And I think one thing that got overlooked, a lot of times it does because there's so many guys working out, you know, Joshua Miles from Morgan State. Think about this number. He's 6'5", 314 pounds. He has a 36-inch vertical. I mean, just think about that.
Wow.
We talked so much during the weekend about guys like, you know, for example, Montez Sweat at 260 running the 4.41. This guy's 314 pounds and has the same vertical jump as Montez Sweat, and he's an offensive tackle.
That's amazing.
And all MEAC selection. So you're exactly right.
You know, Corey, but, you know, for those, and you do it and do a great job analyzing players and, you know, and scouts for respective NFL teams pay for it. How do you translate it, though, you know, in terms of where's the balance from what we've seen these guys do and lay it out on the field with their athleticism as compared to whether or not it translates to them being a great NFL player?
Well, I think that's a great question. And I think the first way you could look at that is let's take a look at for example, Sweat, who, and I know some scouts who I talked to had him in the 4.3s at 260. First of all, you got to look at his weight. How much did he weigh in? A lot of times when you get bigger at these events, you'll run faster. I know a lot of people find that hard to believe. That was even the case for myself when I played and trained for stuff like this. You get faster as you get bigger. He's probably a guy who plays in that 240 to 252-pound range. And now you're going up against a guy like, for example, Andre Dillard down at the Senior Bowl, a guy who I thought matched up very well with him. So what you're seeing is you would think that he'd be able to run right by Dillard because he's 260 and runs the 4.3. Dillard's 6'5", 315, but probably the smoothest, best athlete. And when you're that big, it's still tough to get around that guy. So when you're equating these times, look at a guy like Dillard who runs in the 4.9 range, for example, if you're a fan. And that guy will still be able to handle a guy like Sweat, who has some technique deficiency. He's not necessarily always an excellent bender. He's a little segmented in some of his movements. Balance is only okay. So, you know, you can look at these times and go crazy about them, but when you factor it back to the field and they're matching up with other players, you'll see that sometimes athleticism doesn't win.
Corey, just if we could circle back on something you said in that last point, the beginning of your last point. And it's just, I think maybe some listeners that we have might not understand. So just, like, so you're saying a lot of times athletes, including yourself, when you know if you're going out, you could run a faster 40 if you come in bigger and stronger. And I would assume you would agree it's because you're stronger, because you're a little bit heavier, so you're stronger.
Absolutely.
That's it, right? Just to make sure people understand that, you know.
I mean, you couldn't have said it better. I mean, think about it. The more power you can exert, particularly coming out, because the 40-yard dash is about explosion.
Your knee drive, right? Knee drive, first step explosion.
Knee drive, all those different things.
Right.
So I think what happens is a lot of times these guys get bigger and run faster. But what scouts want to know, teams want to know, everybody, I mean, I want to know, is what do you play at? What are you consistently week to week? What is your weight? Can you maintain that 260 over the course of a 20-game NFL season? And I think that's the question for a guy like even Sweat, who had a phenomenal workout.
You know, Corey, we all focus in on here on especially this time when your team's searching for a quarterback, the quarterbacks. Let's start with the headliner, and that's Murray out of Oklahoma. We know he didn't work out, but he interviewed, met with 10 teams out there, measured in. You know, when you look at Murray and his game at Oklahoma, at 5'10 and an eighth, do you think his game translates to the NFL?
Yeah, I do. I actually had a chance to shoot one of his games this year. I went and shot his Oklahoma TCU game in person. And I kind of moved around the stadium and got a lot of different angles just to kind of see how it would translate. I wanted to see him on the field throw the football with that big offensive line he has. And remember, he was going in that game against a guy, we talk about the combine, Ben Bonagu, the Louisiana Monroe transfer. You want to talk about numbers. I mean, now he ran 4.6 at a 40-inch vertical, 11.2 broad yesterday, or a couple days ago. That was the guy a lot of times they had spying Murphy. Just to give you I wanted to put those numbers out there.
Yeah.
11.2 broad, 40-inch vertical. So they're trying to get this guy to kind of match up with Murray, during the game, and he couldn't. You know, it was not even close. I mean, it was almost like child's play for Murray, just to show you how good of an athlete he is. His ability to find throwing lanes, his calm in the pocket, ability to scan, and when he did move looking to throw first, probably one of the more accurate quarterbacks I've seen, and I've seen him over the last 10 or 15 years, a bunch of these guys play in person.
Yo, Corey, I was saying about Kyler Murray. I was saying to Moose yesterday, you know, like, you know, we were talking about this a good amount. It drives me crazy. This kid is a tremendous athlete, and he's probably going to be awesome in the NFL, Kyler Murray. Really, no doubt. I've watched him play a whole bunch, just like you did at OU, and his greatness. But you know where I'm going with this. It drives me crazy that he's not, that he just went and he didn't do anything physically at the combine, you know, and I wanted to see him compete. We all wanted to see him compete. I know about the pro day, I get it, dude, but like, does it bother you as a former player, you know, when guys don't go in there and compete?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely want to see them compete. I mean, I think that's something that the teams want to see. I think it says something about how the individual looks at it. I always look at it like this, particularly if you start the workout, and I think you make a very good point with this, because when I look at the workout, one of the things I look at more than even just the raw numbers, do you go through the entire workout? That's one of the things that I look at for every single player there. Once you start it, do you finish the workout?
And not only that, but Corey, let me interrupt. Corey, not only that, I want to know what I want to look at. I think you appreciate it. Are you hustling from drill to drill?
Yep.
You know exactly what I'm saying, right? You know what I mean? We don't see that when you don't compete.
The little things, the intangibles, right. I think is what we're talking about.
Right.
You know, Corey, you mentioned his game translates, but I'll ask you this way. If you had a quarterback to take out of this class, you're looking for that franchise guy, are you going Murray? Are you going Haskins? Are you going someplace else?
Well, I think it depends. For me personally, I really believe it depends on your system. I think that too often gets overlooked. Because we're not even talking about Drew Locke with this conversation. Like, Drew Locke's in the conversation. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to, you can't just throw him out. I mean, a couple years ago, he set a record in the SEC for touchdown passes in a single season. And we know who's all played in that conference. And so,
sure.
I mean, now he's had his struggles at times. And I think sometimes his eye level can get a little bit crazy in the pocket. But what a performance he had there. And I think that just when you look at even some of the other quarterbacks who are maybe, you know, undervalued. You know what I'm saying? Maybe a Clayton Thorson out of Northwestern. I'm talking about in terms of the depth of the class. So, yeah, I think that there's a possibility that Dwayne Haskins can leap over him. The Giants may feel like Dwayne Haskins is simply a better fit for what they do. And so for Murray, it comes down to team fit. And I think that Arizona will be a fit. But for me, if I draft a quarterback in the first round like I did last year with the Cardinals, what message am I sending to my team by going out and drafting this guy number one overall? I don't think that's a positive message.
Right, especially for a new coach, disagree. For a new coach coming in like Kingsbury, you know what I mean? You really trying to set that tone. If they just fired the organization, fired a coach that was there for a year. Let me ask you, Corey, about a guy who's everybody feels is going to be the number one overall pick potentially, Nick Bosa. You know, a D lineman, edge rusher, whatever you want to call him, at Ohio State. You know, didn't play the bulk of the year with that core injury he had. Yeah, it's, you know, some pretty impressive numbers of 4.79 40, 29 reps on a bench with 225. And all the stuff. You know, I watched him at the combine. Impressive looking kid at 6'4", 260 and change. Packed with muscle, Corey, as you know. Thick built muscle. Doesn't look like he's 6'4", because he's got such thick quads, right? And his delts and his biceps. Really put together, right? But let me ask you, man. I don't know. I mean, I was watching him. And he didn't – I might be the only guy who thinks this. He didn't jump off the screen to me. Physically, his body looked great. But, I mean, being that he didn't play this whole year at Ohio State for the most part, do you feel he – I mean, would you feel of him at the combine? Do you think he'll be the number one pick overall?
No, I don't. But and I also think that your analysis was spot on again, because he's not necessarily a great athlete. Now, you go back and look at his brother, he wasn't as well in right. terms of – when I say great athlete, they're good athletes. They come from a football lineage.
Sure.
You know, obviously their father was a first-round pick. Their uncle was as well. So they've come from a football lineage. And what you can't see from him during a combine-type setting is just the elite snap count reaction. To me, his snap count reaction, hand usage, and I give you a number that does stand out from him, 20 yards short shuttle, 4.14. I mean, that's probably faster than the majority of the defensive backs. So you can see some definable characteristics from him. I still agree with you. He's not necessarily a spongy bender.
Right.
He's a guy that is going to make the 90-degree turn because he has excellent technique and he can use his footwork to complement the hand usage. I think 10 3/4-inch hands, a heavy-handed player. You talked about the thick quads. He's pretty strong against the run.
Yeah.
They've even moved him around a little bit within their attack.
You know, Corey, how does – I mean, 1.6% body fat for Metcalf is just insane. I mean, he is as good of a physical specimen athlete that you've seen at the wide receiver position in quite some time. It's amazing.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought him up after the Bosa conversation because Bosa, we just talked about him now. We talked about the 4.33 to 1.6% body fat. And I like the fact you brought that up because let's go to that 20-yard shuttle, which is a change of area, a change of direction drill. We just mentioned Bosa ran a 4.14. So Metcalf, who weighed approximately about 34 pounds less than him or whatever it was, than Bosa, he ran that same drill in 4.5 seconds.
Wow.
Yep. So that gives you an idea of the difference and the change of direction ability from one athlete to the next. And when we grade players, one of the things we always do, we never distinguish just speed. So he ran 4.33, but there's a slash between it, speed slash quickness, and we average those two scores. That way you're not getting a one, trick pony. You combine it. Same thing with explosiveness and agility. Just because a guy is explosive, how does he bend? So that gives you an example. Even though this guy had remarkable numbers, 4.33 and all that stuff, when you start breaking that stuff down, and it translates to the film with them, drifts on some of his routes, and I think that's particularly the case on some curls and some hitches, and also has had some issues at times just catching the football. You saw that against LSU this year and Greedy Williams. That was not an elite game for him.
Yeah, hey, so Corey, let me ask you, man. A guy who got a lot of buzz was the excellent D lineman out of Alabama at the combine, Quinnen Williams. You know, ran a 4.8 4'8", 340, and he's over 300 pounds, like 304 pounds, 6 foot three. And we've seen this kid just in between the lines where he plays the game this past year was spectacular. Break him down for me. What do you think? How do you think he'll do at the next level? And just talk to me about Quinton Williams.
Well, I thought he was another player who I felt like when I saw him in person, I thought that he was, as quick off the ball as what some of these times and stuff would. I think that his workout just kind of justified some of the stuff that you see from him. I think he does a pretty good job of being able to work and sift through traffic. I think he's heavy-handed enough. I think he's not necessarily a player who's going to consistently two-gap, although capable. He wants to get on an edge. My thing with Quinton Williams, and you hate to knock him for it, but one-year wonder.
Right, you always
get a little bit concerned about that. Now, I'm not saying he didn't produce in 2017, 2.5 sacks that year, 6.5 tackles for losses, 20 tackles. That's pretty good production. But, you go back a year ago, coming into this time, everybody was talking about Raekwon Davis, who didn't have the year that Quinton Williams came back. And that just kind of shows what goes on at this factory called Alabama. One guy's projected as a top 10 pick. He has a down year. The other guy you didn't know about, he burst onto the scene, and now he's a top 5 pick. He's a really good player, though, and I think he'll help an NFL team.
We're talking to Corey Chavis, former NFL defensive back, Draft Nasty, does a great job, founder of that. Join us in doing a fantastic job here on this Tuesday morning. Corey, a couple more players. Number one, Josh Allen out of Kentucky. 17 sacks, 21.5 tackles for loss. We saw him working out in scouting combine in Indianapolis. What do you make of Allen, getting after the quarterback, being that kind of a game wrecker on the NFL level?
I think he has a chance. Now, when I actually announced one of his games a couple years back, I didn't see this coming. You're talking about a guy that was 208 pounds coming out of high school. So he's put on about 55 pounds in school. So he's probably about maxed out in terms of his overall body weight. Doesn't really have big hands, 8 3/4 inch hands, but he's strong. I think he's a pretty good bender. I think that's something that you've seen. Even sometimes when he does overrun some things, he's able to remap his courses pretty well. I thought he had a very dominant end to his career in his bowl game in the Citrus Bowl, which was a positive. I think the thing that you like about him, when I talk to different teams, it's just the fact of just how mature he is and just like how much he understands, what it's going to be or take to become a true professional. So he's a player that isn't necessarily a completely dynamic athletically. He is a pretty good athlete, trust me. But I still believe that he's growing and trying to learn how to handle all of that weight. Because you're talking about a guy, again, 208 pounds
right.
4 or 5 years ago.
That's crazy. And Corey, final one back to Alabama. Is Jacobs the best tailback in this group?
The group has some other guys, I think, that are complete. First of all, he's got a tough time being the own best back at Alabama. I think people just say, okay, he's better than Damian Harris. Well, why? Because you think he's going to be better. Now, he showed more in terms of explosion, but Harris was pretty explosive too. Even he had a pretty good workout. We still haven't seen Jacobs' workout. And remember, going all the way back to high school with Jacobs, you're talking about an injury history that's very, very significant. Now, he didn't work out because I believe of a groin injury in Indianapolis, but don't forget, he had the injury with the ankle before last year that he
That's
played
true.
Through in 2017. That's why you didn't hear from Jacobs that year. Had the ankle injury, tried to play through it, then he had surgery. So now you come back this year and you have a somewhat of a breakout year. What I like about Jacobs, unbelievable versatility. You see him line up outside, wide against LSU on one play. He runs a hitch route. The next play, they come in and put him in the wildcat. Then you'll see him running a fly sweep. Then he'll go back and return a kickoff. Then you'll see him catch a swing out of the backfield. So he's very versatile. I think that's his calling card.
Corey Chavis, founder of Draft Nasty, did a great job breaking down the draft. Hey, Corey, we'll get you on it. We'd love to get you on again real soon when we get closer and closer to this draft. And we appreciate all the knowledge this morning. Right?
Thanks, Corey. Appreciate it, man.
Oh, man, no problem, man. Thanks a lot, man. You guys have a great week. I really appreciate you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.